Good morning to those of you that have tuned us in by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock. And we now stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Those that tuned us in by the way of Ionia at I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock, I welcome you. Those that tuned in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, I welcome you. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 11 o'clock. I welcome you. Those that are listening by the way of Sermon Cloud, and one of the ways to get to Sermon Cloud is through my website, pastorkenharger.com. Go to Messages from the Lighthouse, scroll down till you see Sermon Cloud, click there and it takes you to my storage place. Also on my public figure devotional thing that I do each day on Saturday, I always put a link to that storage place as well. So you just click on that and Saturday's devotion, and it'll take you right there where you can listen to the message at any time. Whatever way you joined us, I'm happy to have you being with us this morning as we continue our study in the book of James. I need to say thank you for K.N. Kingsinger for picking out our music for this morning. I appreciate her so much and the work that she does. Those that take care of the financial cost of our broadcast, I want to say thank you to Gay London in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, and she's from Greenville. To Marie Vard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran. She's from Dayton, Tennessee, but spending a few weeks here in Michigan at this period of time, and we appreciate her so much. To Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area. They've been a good supporter for a long time, and I appreciate them as well. Court Warner, Freeman Truck and Auto, located east of Belden on M44 on the north side of the road. Always like to give an invitation to attend the services at Shiloh Community Church. At Shiloh, the Saturday night service begins at 6:30. Sunday morning, we begin at 9 o'clock. We have a contemporary service at 10:45 in our Greenville campus at the old Lutheran Church. On M91 North, up there by McDonald's, we have an 11 o'clock morning service there. Whatever way you've tuned us in or you want to come and join us, we would sure be glad to have any one of you do that, and that would be such a blessing to each one of us. Well, as we think about our study of the book of James today, we're going to be dealing with faith and works and how they work together. I'll say right up at the top of the broadcast, I love the portion of scripture that reminds us, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us had a reason to boast. But then he went on to say, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to produce good works that he has, even before we were born, planned for us to do. So we know faith and works have to go together, hand in hand, and that's what God wants to accomplish in each one of our lives. It's a Tuesday. I'm here at the Lighthouse. I just felt like I was beginning to come down with a little bit of a cold. I felt some cold chills, so I decided I better get over and do that broadcast. I have a funeral tomorrow morning. Thought I better get that broadcast done just in case I'm going to be losing my voice. And I just talked to somebody the other day. That's what they were going through, so that's maybe what brought it to my attention. But I love sharing the broadcast time. I love the study of the book of James, and I want to share that with you this morning as we look forward to that. To get us started, we're going to listen to a song that tells us, you know what, folks? God would never ask us to do something if it couldn't be done. And sometimes we kind of want to hold back, but God is saying, I wouldn't ask you to do it if it couldn't be done. So I just want you to reach out and begin to do. You know, God's a God of doing. When Jesus was here, he was a pretty busy individual, and he wants us to be busy as well. And God's going to give you the strength, whatever he calls you to do, he will equip you to do, and we just want to trust in him. So listen to this song.
I told God I would go anywhere, except that one place way over there.
Well, what do you suppose God told me to do? He said that's the very place that I'm sending you to.
Then I thought of every reason
that it wouldn't work out, and I named them one by one. But he said there's nothing to it, and I wouldn't say to do it if I knew it couldn't be done.
He wouldn't say do it if it couldn't be done. He wouldn't say win them if it couldn't be won. So you might as well obey, 'cause you know he wouldn't say do it if it couldn't be done.
Well, how has God been talking to you? Is there something that he's told you to do? But you are paralyzed by worry and dread. You'll never know the blessing till you do what he said.
Just remember God is able,
and he'll make a way, and the battle will be won. When you say there's nothing to it,
and he wouldn't say do it if he knew it couldn't be done. He wouldn't say do it if it couldn't be done. He wouldn't say win them if they couldn't be won. So you might as well obey, 'cause you know he wouldn't say do it if it couldn't be done. He wouldn't say do it if it couldn't be done. He wouldn't say win them if they couldn't be won. So you might as well obey, 'cause you know he wouldn't say do it if it couldn't be done. Do it if it couldn't be done.
Well, he wouldn't say do it, dear people, if it couldn't be done. That's quite a simple answer for each one of us, and we need to have that in our mind as we start our message, because God's going to be talking about us this morning, talking to us and with us and for us, that we need to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. And we need to be busy accomplishing something down here on planet Earth that's going to count for eternity. But before we get started this morning, I'd like to pray for the listening audience. I've been enjoying doing that just recently, and just asking God to bless each one of you in a very special way. I have a lot of people that tell me I listen to you every Sunday and so on, and so I just thought, well, I better get back to praying. I had done it that way for a while, and then I got away from it. So I just want to remember the listening audience this morning. So let's bow together for just a moment. Our most kind and gracious Father, as we come to you, we come in behalf not of ourselves, but we come in behalf of the listening audience and ask that your special blessing would be upon each person that has tuned us in this morning, whether they're from the Ionia area, whether they're from Florida or Michigan, or they're on Facebook and listening to my reading my devotion. I just ask, our Father, you would minister to each one in a very special way. Father, we come before you, and I ask those that need special strength this morning because they're really feeling weak. They're feeling discouraged or disappointed. Would you be their source of encouragement? Would you be their source of lifting their head, as you tell us you do in the Bible? For those that's going through physical problems, my wife Bev had to see the doctor this week for the physical things she's going through. And so we know just how trying that can be. So, Father, I just pray your special blessing to be upon each person that's going through some physical difficulty within their lives. And then, Father, within the family unit, we know there's always things that are causing a lot of heartache and disappointment and discouragement. So I pray for the family of the listening audience that you'll just be pleased to bless their family unit according to your will. Those that's given up a loved one from this week, I ask your special word of comfort and encouragement to be their source. I pray, Father, you'd give them a hug from you and you would minister to them in a very special way. Some that need financial advice or financial support, we ask your blessing to be upon them. Some that just need some answers. They just go into a time and they don't know the answer. What's going on? And why is this situation here? And what am I supposed to do with it? So, Father, I just pray you'd bless the listening audience this morning. I thank you for them, and I pray your richest blessing to be upon each one of their lives and the lives of their family. I pray in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. You know, I love the idea comes across in James chapter 2, reminding us that faith without good deeds is dead. He said that kind of faith don't count very much. And he's even wondering if that kind of faith can even bring about the salvation of a soul and so on. So we realize that God is reminding us that we're to be busy for him in our time down here on planet Earth. And it just can be simple little things that we do for him, which we'll talk about in just a few moments. But what good is it, he says in James chapter 2, he says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you have faith but don't show it by your actions. Can that kind of faith save anyone? What about this faith without action? There's got to be something comes when you say you have faith in God. And I love the way he illustrates it. Listen to what he says. Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or no clothing, and you say goodbye and have a great day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you didn't give the person any food or clothing. What good does that do? How does that help anyone? What kind of thing is that? You see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. I love that idea. Faith produces. May I say that again? Faith produces in your life, in my life. And it's going to benefit. He says good deeds. It's going to benefit somebody. It's going to be a help to them along the journey of their life. It is dead and useless. He's going to deal with that idea of dead faith, you know. Now, some of you may argue some people have faith and others have good deeds. But James says, I say unto you, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by the good deeds I do. You say you have faith for you to believe there is one God. Good for you, he says. Even the demons believe this, that there's one God. And they're in terrible terror and troubled. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Now, I got to remind you, and I remind myself, that God said, these three will last forever. Faith, love, good works. No, he said, faith, hope, and love. They'll last forever. But what good is this faith if it doesn't produce any good qualities out of your life? If there is no product coming from your life because of your faith? The way I like to do it is what I can ask myself, what last week, just because of my faith, just because I believe there's a God, I believe in him, I believe in his son, the Lord Jesus, what did I do last week that was a benefit to somebody else, to be a help to somebody else? Faith is completed and proven by good actions. It prompts, it produces something. Faith without such actions is dead. A Christian is saved and justified before God by faith. I believe that with all my heart. But it is living faith through which God accomplishes things, his purpose, by doing good works through us as we commit to Christ, dependent on him and not our human effort to achieve the things of heaven, but also serving him with good works as we're directed by the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants to do with us. He wants to work through us. He wants to work in your life, and then he wants to work through your life. And if he is working in your life this morning, he will soon be working through your life. He'll make your life count. He'll make your life be a blessing. Jesus reminded us we're like a city on a hill. It can't be hid. He said, let your light shine. And then as he said, let your light shine that they may see your good works or your good deeds, and they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. The measure of our faith is not our talk. It's our walk. What we're doing. Faith is what we do. It's not what we say, but what we do. Paul Harvey used to say, if you do not live it, you do not really believe it. If you do not live it, you do not believe it. The lifestyle of doing reflects the reality of the faith in your life and mine. Everyone places their faith in something or someone. Your faith is only as good as the object in which it is placed. And the scripture tells us that by grace we were saved through faith, not that of ourselves. It was the gift of God, not the results of works, lest any one of us could boast. But I remember one day when Jesus was teaching. You know, he reminds us that his call. I think of his call, when I look at the life of Jesus, we're called for a purpose. He'll equip us for that purpose. If God knew it couldn't have been done, he wouldn't say do it. He empowers us for that purpose. For we are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship. We've been created unto good works, which God has foreordained that you and I should walk in. We should be doing some of the things that God is looking for us to do in our lives because He's in our life. He wants to produce something out of our life. It's just not that we talk faith and faith talk, but rather we walk it. We walk it every day of our life. I want to share a story that I've liked ever since I first came across it, and I've used it many different times. It teaches the need of you and I sticking with what we have experienced in our relationship with God and keep on keeping on with Him and to do it for the long haul. I don't know how long you signed in with God. I was 18 years old. I'm 83 now when I signed in with God, and I still want to do whatever He wants me to do as long as He gives me the breath to do it. You know something, folks? That's not always the way it works out. Sometimes the scripture teaches us there comes a little bit of persecution, a little bit of things not working out quite the way you wanted it to, and we kind of turn tail and run. There's many different reasons why you were once a Christian, but now you've kind of in the backslidden condition, so to speak. God speaks to us. He wants us to be on the long haul. This story talks about that, and I like it. So let me just tell you this story. One day there was a young disciple of Christ desiring to fully receive all that God had for him. He visited the home of an elderly Christian. He had heard that this old man had never lost his first love for Christ over all the years that he had been serving him. The elderly man was sitting on the porch with his dog, taking in a beautiful sunset. The young man posed this question, "Why is it, sir, that so many Christians make a jealous chase for God, and then during the first year or two of their relationship with Him after their conversion, and then they fall into complacency, into church ritual once or twice a week, and then they end up not looking any different than the neighbors who aren't even Christians? I've heard that you're not like that, sir." The old man smiled and replied, "Let me tell you a story," he said. "One day I was sitting here on the porch quietly, watching the sunset like I'm doing this evening with my dog, and suddenly a large white rabbit ran across the field in front of us. Well, my dog jumped up and took off after that big white rabbit. He chased the rabbit over the hills with a passion, and soon other dogs joined him, attracted by his barking. What a sight it was as the pack of dogs ran barking across the creek, up the stony embankments, and through the thicket and the thorns. And they were barking away. Gradually, however, one by one, the other dogs dropped off of the pursuit, discouraged by the chorus and frustrated by the chase. Only my dog continued the hot pursuit of that white rabbit. In that story, young man, lies the answer to your question." The young man sat in confusion, since finally he said, "Sir, I don't understand. What's the connection between a rabbit chase and a quest for God?" "You fail to understand," answered the old man, well-seasoned man, "because you failed to ask the obvious question." "What is that?" "The question is this. Why didn't those other dogs continue to chase? How come they quit?" "An answer to that question is that they had not seen the rabbit. They hadn't really realized what they were chasing. They were just chasing. Beloved, unless you and I see the prize in the Lord Jesus Christ, the chase is too difficult." I love the way Jesus taught this same truth. It has been something that has stuck in my mind ever since I've been a Christian and read it. He said, "You know, no man that puts his hands to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." God say, no, when you put your hand to the plow, you look straight forward and you go straight forward. And what this man is teaching that Jesus meant to him, he'd put his eyes on Jesus, and now he needed to have his eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith. And that was something we need to do. That little story can tell us a lesson. How come you've quit chasing? kind of forgot what the prize was, kind of forgot the blessing of who's really called us. And sometimes we do a lot of barking, and all of a sudden we're on the sidelines. We're just watching. God is saying in the book of James, that's not what faith's about. That's not kind of faith I'm talking about. God is reminding us there's something different kind of faith than that, that he wants for each one of us. He wants a faith that is productive, a faith that signs on for the long haul, a faith that doesn't give up that quickly. I believe in order for that to happen, it takes some cultivation to improve that faith and that works growth. The two I'm going to look at today for cultivating is a man in the Old Testament called Abraham. I just want to take Abraham's life and cultivate my life a little bit with it. I want to take Abraham's life and I want to cultivate your life. Abraham's faith and works in his life, working together to bring glory to God. James chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. James is saying, don't you remember what we read about our ancestors? Don't you remember about Abraham? He was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on an altar. You see, faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scripture says. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as a righteous because of his faith. But he demonstrated that faith by his action. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by our faith alone. It's the actions that's taken place in your life and my life. You know, when I think of this man, Abraham, I think of the man that had signed on for a long haul. He had heard God tell him that he'd show him a nation. He'd been following God through a lot of thick and thin. He got following God, whatever God asked him to do, he was trying to do it. Even though the things God was asking him to do was one of the, this thing he's asking him to do, was one of the toughest things that he ever did in his life of obedience to God. God asked him one day, I want you to take your son, Isaac. I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. I want this story to show us faith and works working together. Let me just give it to you from the book of Genesis. I love this story. I love it because of the fact of its outcome. God wasn't just trying to get Abraham to fall by the wayside, but God was trying to get Abraham to know whom he had really believed in. So Abraham one day, then he took some wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and a knife. And as the two of them began walking together, Isaac turned to Abraham and he said, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have fire, we have wood. The boy said, but where's the sheep for the burnt offerings? There's going to worship. His dad had told him, there's going to worship the Lord. And he looks at his son and he said, Son, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. Abraham answered and they both walked on. And finally they got to the top of the mountain. And then everything was going to change different than they ever thought it ever possibly could be. They got to the top of the mountain. There he tied his son Isaac's hands and he laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. And Abraham picked up his knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And at that very moment, the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Yes, Abraham replied, here am I. Don't lay a hand on that boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Remember, faith and works will provide. God provided the sacrifice. Abraham went by faith. but that faith was willing to produce even that which Abraham didn't understand. Why God would ask him to offer as a sacrifice his one and only son. We got to be reminded, life in a walk with God doesn't mean it's always going to be an easy road. Sometimes there's things we go through that we don't quite understand. But God's going to provide for whatever you need in your life and whatever I need in my life. God will make those provisions. He will make those provisions because he knows that it's what's best for us. And you know, the only way that can happen in my life and the only way that can happen in your life is as we listen to a song that I want us to share. Go ahead, Lord. Lead me, Lord. Lead me on that journey. Show me what you're looking for, wanting me to go. And he was ahead of Abraham. He's been ahead of many people in the Bible, leading them all the way. Well, let's listen in. I'll be right back.
Go ahead. Behind you.
ahead, Lord. Go ahead, Lord, and lead the way. I will follow. I'll be right behind you. Listening audience, whatever you're going through this morning, that's the answer to what you're going through. Follow the Lord. Go ahead, Lord, lead the way. I will follow. Abraham did that. As a result of that, God's blessing is going to be upon Abraham. But there's a second lesson I want us to learn from what Abraham did, because I think it's that one that we ought to get a hold of that can help us in our own way of life. It's shared with us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The book of Hebrews is the hall of fame of faith. When God tested Abraham, faith led him to offer his son Isaac. Abraham, the one who had received the promise from God, was willing to offer his son as a sacrifice. God said to him, "Though Isaac, your descendant will carry on your name." And Abraham believed that God could bring Isaac back from the dead. And Abraham did receive Isaac back from the dead in a figurative sense, because they offered the ram instead of Abraham on that altar of worship. You see, what Abraham was doing with his faith and his works was he was not only going through with this act that God had asked him to do, because he said, if God is asking me to do this, God must be going to bring him right back to life, because he said through my son there was going to be blessings coming. So God's got something in mind. Faith in God brings us salvation. Obedience demonstrates that our faith is genuine and living. His obedience of Abraham proved that he was saved because he lived by faith in God's word. Abraham offering Isaac was proof of his faith. It was evidence that his faith was alive. Abraham's deed was an act of faith, for it was his faith that prompted his obedience. His faith was surprising him on how, spurring him on, I want to say surprising, but his faith is spurring him on to do good works. And that's what God wants our faith, to spur us on to do good works, because that was necessary. These works proved the integrity of his faith. It just showed that his faith was alive. These works were an exercise of faith. The results of the works was the perfecting of the faith. Faith must be cultivated by works, and works cultivates the growth of faith to be even deeper. Abraham is noted for being a friend of God. This is means of expression is that the result of his faithful obedience concerning his son Isaac, it brought Abraham even into a closer relationship with God than he had ever had before. But I believe as a result of his faith, the obedience to God, his father and his son were brought into a close relationship than ever before. A father and son, closer relationship, because they endured that testing that they was going through. I believe God's provision for the ram was a joyful sacrifice that day. I believe Abraham hugged Isaac like he had never hugged him before, and I believe Isaac hugged Abraham like he had never hugged him before. Can I go a step further? It's hard to read this story about a father offering his one and only son. But just think, God the Father did offer his one and only son, Jesus. He offered him as a sacrifice for our sins. I love this from the Christ Children's Bible. My dear children, I write this letter to tell you that you should not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have Jesus Christ to help us. He's the righteous one. He defends us before God the Father. Jesus is the way that our sins get taken away. And Jesus is the way that all people can have their sins taken away. I believe God gave Abraham a hug. And I believe this morning God gives us a hug. I believe he gave Abraham a hug through that ram that was caught in the thicket. I believe God's given you and I a hug this morning because of that one Jesus willing to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And we should be brought closer to Jesus, closer to God, closer in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, because he so loved us that he gave his one and only Son. And Jesus so loved us that he paid the supreme price of him who knew no sin, became sin for you and I, and the wrath of God was poured out upon him. But that's not the end of the story. That's not what James wants to also teach us. We can say to ourselves, man, Abraham was a good man. Abraham was a powerful man. Abraham was a man that really did trust in God. But then he goes on in James 2:25, he says, Rahab, listen to this now. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions. What she did when she hid the messengers and she sent them safely away on a different road. He's not stopping with Abraham. He's going to go to Rahab. She's in the scripture. She's in the lineage of Jesus, by the way, folks. James uses the greatest contrast in persons possible. Abraham was a man of whole and noble character. He had a high position, one of the most distinguished men of this time. Rahab, on the other hand, was a woman, a foreigner, a prostitute. James insists, however, that her experience with God teaches us the same lesson that Abraham's experience teaches us, that her faith and works work together to bring glory to God. Rahab had everything going against her, including even her name. In my study, I came across her name was associated with an Egyptian god. Rahab was an immoral woman, a prostitute, but she was a perfect candidate for the grace of God. Can I say that again? She was a perfect candidate for the grace of God. God takes one of the people that we could look up to. Then he takes another person that we might look down our nose to and think, what does she have to offer? And God says, you know what? Both of them had faith in me, and both of them did works that brought glory to me. I love these thoughts from this story. How she cared about her family is given to us back in the book of Joshua. She believed judgment was coming, so she told the spies, now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I have helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father and my mother, my brothers and my sisters and their families. I love that attitude of Rahab. She's concerned about her family and their spiritual condition. She's concerned about her family. If judgment is coming to the nation of Jericho, she wants her family to be safe and secure. She wants them to have something that they're not going to be destroyed. Then she let them down, the spies, by a rope through the window, for her house was on the outer side of the city wall. She resided within the walls itself. The spies told her, when we come into this land, you must leave this scarlet rope hanging from the window through which you let us down. That's in Joshua 2:15-18. Faith in God and the promise she received from the spies. But that's not the work part. That's the faith part. The work part was when she gathered all of her family together, letting them know judgment is coming to the nation, to the city of Jericho. And we need to know, you need to be in my house. I have a promise from the spies of God that they're going to spare us, but we have to be in my house. So she gathered her dad and her mom and her brothers and sisters and all their family. And that house, when the people were coming to conquer Jericho, that house was full. But that's not the end of the works, folks. It's faith and works. Remember what the spies said? The spies said, if you want to be delivered, it's up to you to get your family there. And she did that, and she did that well. The second thing that's up to you to do, that's what you got to do. That's what we can't do for you, and that's what God won't do for you. You got to hang the cord out the window that you let us down by. And that very cord will be a symbol so that God will make sure that all of your family is protected. I love a quote from Billy Graham. who had this to say about faith and works and their relationship to each other. There really is no conflict between faith and works. In the Christian life, they go together. Now listen to what he says. This is worth thinking about. They go together like inhaling and exhaling. Faith is taking in the gospel, God's love. Works is taking the gospel, is talking the gospel out. Works is the walk of your life. It's the things that you are doing that demonstrates that you believe in this one God, that you believe in what he's told you, you believe in what he's done for you. Isn't it interesting the way God illustrates those things for us? He illustrates it for us with such a powerful way of saying, here's a man, Abraham, that you can look up to. You would have wanted to be like him. You would have wanted to have his faith. You would have wanted to be a man of obedience as he wanted to sign up for the long haul as he did. But here's another one whose life is a mess. She's allowed things to take control of her life rather than her life being surrendered to you. And yet at the same time, when there came an opportunity, she surrendered to the obedience of God rather than to the fact of disobedience to him. And you know what it was? It was faith in God. And it was the works of getting her whole family together. And then not only getting her whole family together, but realizing that she had to hang a cord out the window. I found a picture from my Facebook of one of the city walls, supposed to be Jericho. I can't prove that it was, but anyway, there was a big cord hanging down from one window. A big, bright red cord. You know what? God said, that's obedience. And she was spared. And her whole family was spared. Because they walked in obedience for him. It's faith, but it's works. It's you doing what God's asking you to do. You're not letting God work through you as an individual. And that's what's going to count in your life and my life. That's what's going to help us in our journey as we come nearer to the end of our journey as an individual. Is we want to have some confidence in this one God. I love it the way that Paul ended his life. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. But listen to what he says next. I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. That's so needed in our society today, especially within us as Christian believers, that we're keeping the faith, that we're keeping on, that we haven't left our first love. We haven't forgot the prize. We haven't forgot what the prize is, that Jesus Christ himself. And as a result of that, we have the blessing of faith. And the result of that faith growing, if I want to cultivate it, I've given you two people by which we can cultivate it. That is, loosen up the soil so it can grow a little more. You see, I believe that these both got to grow. I believe faith has to grow. But I also believe works have to grow. Things that we can do. Things that we can accomplish for God. Now I realize that being 83, I can't do the stuff I used to do. Many things I did for God when I was much younger that I can't do now. But I can still be busy doing something. There's one more illustration. And I see this illustration often. Jesus illustrates how faith and works in Abraham, how faith and works in Rahab was working together to bring glory to God. But he says, I've got one more illustration, James is saying. Now listen to what he says. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith without works, he said, is dead. Your works is going to encourage your faith. Your faith is going to encourage your works. The more works you do, the more your faith will be encouraged. The more your faith is encouraged, the more your works, the more works you will do. Another way it's put in another translation of the Bible, or a body that doesn't breathe is dead. The body that doesn't breathe is dead. In the same way, faith that does nothing is dead. It's just a corpse. And it's a dead corpse. Now, we don't like to think about death, and we don't like to think about life and death, but we've all seen dead people. We've all known of our loved ones that once had so much life within them, and all of a sudden they look the same, but there's no life in them. There's no breath in them. And we grieve for that. We mourn about that. I think what God is saying, we need to grieve and mourn about faith that's dead. Faith that's not alive. Faith that's not producing. How long have you been a believer in God? What have you done for Him? What are you doing for Him? God is saying, that's what I want you to know. That when you claim to have faith, this is living faith. He told us to offer our bodies a living sacrifice. He says, God has no hands but your hands and my hands. And your hands that once was used to do sin, now let your hands do good things. Your feet that walked in mischief, now do it. Let your feet carry you to do some good deeds. It's something reminded that we all got to be a part of. I love the way Rick Warren shares it. He's one of my mentors that I like. Faith is not something you say, not just something you feel, not just something you think, and more than that, not just something you believe. James teaches us, it's faith is something also we do. We do because we have faith. We got to be a doer of His word, not just a hearer of His word. Came across this make-believe story, and I like it because it didn't happen, folks, and I probably shouldn't use it as a make-believe story because there's so many other stories I could use, but this story just kind of just gave me a little chuckle, like, so to speak. So a make-believe story is told in a country where there was only ducks living. One Sunday morning, all the ducks came into the church. They waddled down the aisle into their pews, and then they squatted on their pews. Then the duck minister took his place behind the pulpit and opened his duck Bible, and he read, "Ducks, you have wings, and with wings you can fly like an eagle. You can soar into the sky. Use your wings." And all the ducks yelled, "Amen, amen," the ducks yelled. And then they all waddled home. I like that. They all waddled home, dear people. They didn't get the message. Amen, we believe that. We got wings. We can fly like an eagle. And then they left church and all waddled all the way home. Well, we know that that's not a true story, but you know what is true? When the body dies, when there's no breath in the body, it is dead. It is dead. In the same way, faith that is not accomplishing any works, it's dead also, he says. It's dead faith. I love the way the Apostle Paul shared this. You know, one day the Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus, and he got struck down by the Lord Jesus. He had letters of authority to put Christians in jail. He was against the Christians. He was against Christianity. And all of a sudden it said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Jesus who you persecute." And then Saul's name was changed to the Apostle Paul, and God said something to him that he was supposed to be doing a work for him. He had some things he wanted him to do, some things he wanted him to accomplish. And he did that. Well, he got put into prison, and one day he's before King Agrippa. He talked about the one he received Jesus. And Paul said, God appointed you me to be a servant and a witness of what you have seen and what I will show you. I will rescue you from the Jewish people, from the non-Jewish people to whom I'm sending you. You will open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to light and from Satan's control to God's control. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and share among God's people who are made holy by believing in me. And at that point, I did not disobey the vision I saw from heaven, King Agrippa. I obeyed it. Instead, I started spreading the gospel that I first told to the Jewish people in Damascus, and then I went to Jerusalem and throughout the whole country of Judea. I spread the same message to non-Jews, Jewish people. Both groups were expected to change the way their thinking and actions and turn to God. And now listen to what he said. And I told them to do things that prove that they are changing, that their lives had changed. That is in Acts 26:20. God's reminding us there was supposed to be something different happening in your life and my life when we come to know this one, the Lord Jesus. All down through the years, my favorite way to explain works and faith is a rowboat. I even taught kids from day camp. We'd come here to the lake, and I'd have my aluminum boat, and I'd have it in the water. And one of the oars, my wife wrote on the word works, and the other oar had the word faith. I said, you know, if you just do works, you know what you do, and I take that oar. Just try to paddle the boat with one oar. And you know what it would do? It would spin me around in a circle. Then I'd say, well, that's not working, so let's just try works. And I take that oar and I spin me around in a circle. I wonder what would happen if we took faith and works and put them together. I wonder what would happen if we took faith and works and rowed with both of them at once, working together as a team. So I took the one oar marked faith, the one oar marked works, and we started to row. And guess what? The rowboat would row. It would go across the water. That's a reminder to us, folks. It's faith and works working together to produce what God wants to produce in each one of our lives and to show us what he has for us to do and to accomplish what he wants to accomplish within our life. And that's what we're going to close with is a song that shares that same thought with us. I'm a servant of faith, and by faith things will be accomplished in my life. And as a result of that, God can have his way. God bless you. God bless you with a good week this week. Bye-bye.
Look for a city. He was searching for something unseen. By faith, Daniel faced the lions, believing he would be free. By faith, Abel offered to God a sacrifice more pleasing than Cain's, and by faith Noah prepared the ark, knowing his God would soon send the rain. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So by faith we can step out on the promise of God, rest assured he will. No matter how far I have to walk, it seems that I still get nowhere. And no matter how high I have to climb, it seems that the mountain still there. But the higher I climb, the more that